You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shui Media and brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are your friendly neighborhood show where we enjoy cold beverages and we enjoy talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. And every week we'll be giving you an in-depth look into everything the Cowboys are doing, what we can expect from the Cowboys. My name is Michael Sizemore. I've been following and writing about the Cowboys for many years and currently contribute to Blogging the Boys. You may follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. Follow the podcast at Brews and the Boys and at Blogging the Boys. With me as always, he's the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour. Folks, my colleague at Blogging the Boys and the Walter Matthau of my Jack Lemmon, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Hey!
All right, and you can follow him on Twitter at TomRyleBTB. Well, it just seems like another Groundhog Day, except for this one was a lot bigger here. The Cowboys get the win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nobody saw that coming. I was in Dallas over the weekend at a wedding, telling my my significant other's brother that he could expect a Jaguars win 9-6, possibly, and I get home just in time before the game, and the Cowboys just have this offensive explosion, Tom. They win 40-7 over the Jaguars. First off, I just got to know, what were your thoughts just processing this game?
Who is this team? Where did they come from?
Yeah.
It was like, one of the things that we've been discussing for the first 5 weeks of the season is how they had to get something right on offense, and it all seemed to be just interconnected. Dak wasn't playing well. The offensive line was having its struggles. The receivers weren't doing a whole lot for Dak, and, you know, the play calling was questionable, although we were never sure if it was just the play calling or the plays were not being executed.
Yeah.
And it was like everything fell into line, at least to a degree. The only thing where it wasn't really complete was that Cole Beasley just picked up the receiver load, his little lonesome, and just absolutely embarrassed the secondary of Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, it got off to, you think about it, people don't want to go back and look at this just because it was the first drive and it only ended in a field goal. It was kind of similar to what, you know, the Cowboys had done the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Dak Prescott has that fumble. He recovers it, you know, on 2nd and 9. And then on, you know, 3rd and 8, he gets sacked. So then the Cowboys kick a 50-yard field goal with Brett Maher, who, by the way, has just, you know, kicked 15 field goals in a row. No big deal.
Yeah.
But you talk about on that drive, on a 3rd and 9, you know, I was very impressed that Dak just went after it. He connected with Jeff Swaim on 1st and 10. He connected with Michael Gallup on a 27-yard throw that was just amazing for Gallup to get up and get that one. But, you know, then it ends in 3 points. So you're just saying, well, okay, I guess this is the same team. However, we forget that the Cowboys had some returners on defense, and that was, you know, defensive tackle David Irving playing his first game, defensive tackle Malik Collins playing his first game. I mean, the Jaguars came out for a quick 3 and out, and, you know, they got a penalty on this was huge, too. They got a penalty on their offense on the punt, which gave the Cowboys the ball at the Jacksonville 48-yard line. To start the next drive. And instead of doing what we had seen before, you know, we did see a little bit of what they did before. You talk about Dak Prescott. How many guys can fumble the ball to themselves?
Yeah.
That is just insane. He's going, you know, he's taken off on up the middle, and he just fumbles the ball, but it bounces off the ground back into his hands, and he runs it for 8 yards. And then, you know, two plays later, he's running it in for a touchdown after Michael Gallup couldn't get his feet down. So it's just, yeah, they started out hot, Tom, and they just kept going.
Yeah. It really, I think that first drive, even though it did stall, yeah, and they had to settle for the three, I think it gave a huge shot of confidence. That pass to Gallup, where he just went over the defender and took the ball, that was just determination. That was showing some elevation to get to the ball.
Yeah.
I think that set a tone that may be a little bit undervalued. A lot of people might not realize quite how important that one play may have been. At least I think that's what happened, is that kind of got a little bit of confidence going up, and then Dak started finding Beasley, and it was just like, yeah, from then on, it was like, what was really amazing was it was like they didn't really know what to do. You have to credit Beasley's route running ability and how he can create separation, because he just puts beautiful moves if you look at some of the replays on these people. But he seemed to be standing there with a 10-yard bubble around him on a lot of those passes.
Yeah, you talk about a team that had struggled on third down in their first two drives. They faced third down 3 times. They were 2 of 3. You know, they get the one to Gallup for the 27 yards, and then they kick the field goal. And then on the second one, there's a 3rd and 5. They find Cole Beasley over the middle for 15 yards. And it goes back to what you're saying. They just, I don't know what their plan was to cover Cole Beasley, but it really did not work for them. And then that pass in the end zone to Michael Gallup, I just got to get your thoughts on that. You've seen the replay. I mean, it's a college kid, so you do have to kind of teach them, hey, guys, you got to get both feet down in the NFL. But he looked like he walked on air.
Yeah, it's an amazing replay to watch from the pylon cam.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it just looks like he's floating there, and I don't know if the defender was kind of pushing him towards the out of bounds or what. And then he basically just crossed his ankles.
Yeah.
His other foot would have come down and could have got his feet untangled. Still, he went for that ball. He attacked it. It was a very good play in everything except the final outcome. And, you know, and then, of course, they just come right back and say, okay, we can't pass for it. Let's just run Dak around the end and get him in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that they built a little bit of chemistry on those two drives with Michael Gallup. You know, I just think that they got to keep this kid's head in there, because I think going forward, he's one of their best possibilities of playmaking.
Yeah. OCC did a chart that he put up that showed that Dak has 4 receivers now that are doing the job for him.
Yeah.
That's Beasley, Jeff Swaim, who is quietly emerging as a very competent tight end in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Ezekiel Elliott is catching the ball, and I don't know who the 4th guy was.
It was probably Allen Hurns, but Hurns didn't do anything in this game. In fact, he had like 5 targets and didn't catch any of them. But you talk about, go ahead.
I'm gonna pull that up.
Yeah, you go ahead and pull that up, and you can correct us here in a second, and I'll just go forward here. You talk about, okay, so the Cowboys are now up 10-0, and you know, they're inside 4 minutes in the first quarter, and the Jaguars come out. And, you know, they start moving the ball a little bit. They get all the way to the Dallas 32 before Malik Collins shows up, sacked for 8 yards,
yeah,
takes them out of field goal range, and then their punter has to punt again. So, and then the Cowboys are right back out on the field offensively, and it just, they pick up right where they left off. You know, you get Zeke for 6, Dak for 7, and then Zeke busts a 20-yard run. And then, you know, You got another, like, Dak finds Cole Beasley for another 21 yards on a pass. That's just another one of the big plays. This is only their 3rd offensive drive here. Then he finds Rico Gathers through the middle, just, you know, short to the right side for 14 yards. And then Boom, there it is. Cole Beasley sauces everybody for 17 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, and, you know, at that point, the Cowboys may have scored enough points to win this game.
Exactly.
Because Blake Bortles was just – he was under attack. He wasn't able to do much. Their running game was totally ineffective. They were now behind and having to play catch-up. And the Dallas defense, even though they only got three sacks total, they harassed him so much. I think it was Irving that came at
almost
him
blocked
very
the
early.
Punt if he wasn't held.
Yeah, and I think on the play just before that, he had forced Bortles to run and just kind of chunk the ball.
Exactly.
So he didn't take the sack. At that point, yeah, they had enough, but they didn't take their foot off their neck.
No, and you know, on the next drive for the Jaguars, because I want to get into this big drive for the Cowboys and just how much it just really took away from the Jaguars. So you're talking about, you know, on the next offensive drive for the Jaguars, you talk about these defense. They timed their sacks perfectly. On first and 10 from Jacksonville's 32, he's Tyron Crawford and Antoine Woods team up, sack Bortles. Two plays later, they're punting again. The Cowboys started at their own 22. And what I thought was crazy is the Cowboys start at their own 22. They get one 4-yard rush by Zeke, and then Dak finds Tavon Austin for a 5-yard pass over Tyler Patman, who just got abused by Cole Beasley. On third and one, that video is going pretty viral that I think Pat Doney of NBC took. Zeke Elliott just runs up the middle and just trucks Jalen Ramsey. Completely knocks him off his feet. And then Dak catches. This is he's intending this play for Tavon Austin, but I think he knew that there was a lot of grabbing going on because he drew a penalty on AJ Bouye for defensive holding. So that's the first time on first and 10 now that the Jaguars extend the Cowboys drive for them. Three plays later, they're about to punt at their own 49, and they get too many men on the field. Jacksonville.
The free play there was
huge.
Just a dagger.
Yeah, and it was embarrassing, really. It's embarrassing for the Jaguars because they had won a week earlier against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and that was not a play where they ran out and got into the punt formation and kicked it quick.
Yeah.
It just took them a long time to realize they had too many men out there.
Yeah, and you're talking like the Cowboys' drive started at with 8 minutes, just about 8 minutes left, and the Cowboys go down. They get that penalty for too many men on the field. They continue their drive. They've already been on the field for about like eight plays. Then they go on a second drive within the drive, you know, just picking up 10 yards here, 1 yard there, and they go down, convert a fourth and one. They went for it, and they get it on fourth and one. And then Cole Beasley over the middle, short for 18 yards, at run off Tyler Patman again. Jacksonville calls their timeout because now you're only got a minute left in the half. Dak finds, you know, he throws it to Jamez Oluwole, which I think really was just to get them to use another timeout.
And throws
it to to Allen Hurns, who doesn't get it. So Jacksonville ends up taking a timeout with 51 seconds left in the half and a third timeout with 47 seconds left in the half. I can't remember if somebody got hurt or something like that they were forced to do it. But
Calais Campbell.
Yeah, that's right, Calais Campbell.
And
so then
and
on
that
third,
was the block that Ezekiel Elliott just demolished him.
Ah, that's correct. And then on third and seven from the Jacksonville 9, boom, Cole Beasley sauce again. You're talking from the Jacksonville 9, and now the Cowboys are up 24-0, kicking the ball back to the Jaguars with 41 seconds left, and they got a couple of yards here, and then they just wanted to get to halftime.
Yeah, there was a great play because one of the interesting little sub stories was Jordan Lewis had by far his best game of the year because Chidobe Awuzie was out, and Lewis really made the most of his opportunities.
Oh,
and
of course.
You know, Anthony Brown didn't have a bad game either. So,
yeah,
you know, it just the defense the offense is the big headline, but the defense was certainly carrying more than their end of the bargain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the defense kept coming back and showing the Cowboys offense, like, this is what we can do for you when you score. This is what we can do for you. And, you know, even after the half, it got a little dicey there for the Cowboys because they had two drives that just didn't go for pretty much anything. And everyone's starting to think, are the Cowboys going to, mess this one up again? But thankfully, go ahead.
Yeah, and then, Jacksonville did get their one touchdown, which it's hard to keep an NFL team out of the end zone for 60 minutes.
Yeah, it really is.
And that was the only sequence defense really let off a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they let off a little bit, but, they were getting kind of exhausted a little bit there, too, because the Cowboys were scoring points, and now the Cowboys are putting them right back on the field,
Yeah, but then Dallas comes right back and has them a nice little drive to get down in field goal range, which, for Mayer is anywhere out to about 55 yards at least.
Yeah.
And put three more points up. And, it was getting to the point where pretty obviously Jacksonville just didn't have enough room. And then came the two sequences that just really had to have absolutely crushed them.
Yeah, so you talk about it and they get they get the score there and the Cowboys go and put those, a 46-yarder from Brett Maher on, he gets a 46-yarder. And then you talk about he gets another 32-yarder after that. So then Blake Bortles on first and 10, or sorry. Yeah. Blake Bortles on first and 10 after the Cowboys go up 27-7, trying to go to D.D. Westbrook in triple coverage.
Yeah.
In triple coverage by Byron Jones, who is the league's best cornerback right now. And Jeff Heath is just waiting there perfectly like he always is. I'm sure Jones. Byron was like, can you just let me have this man?
Jones couldn't seal the deal and it caromed off of him. But yeah, Heath has always had that knack for being in the right place at the right time for his interceptions.
Yeah.
And then he almost got into the end zone himself.
Yeah, he did. And he almost got there, but the Cowboys they didn't, it kind of upset you a little bit just because they got a delay of game there and they ended up having to, kick a field goal because they couldn't. They got a holding call too.
Yeah, it was the holding call
That's right.
They got the field goal, the holding call, backed it up. So what the heck, Meyer? Just 22-yarder, 32-yarder. He don't care.
He is like, you know what, 22, 32, put them together. It's 50. It's 54. Who cares? Let's just go for it. So then the Jacksonville Jaguars come out. They're down 30-7. And lo and behold, he completes a pass to Keelan Cole for 4 yards, but Keelan doesn't tuck it in, and Jalen Smith just pops that out, and your boy Jordan Lewis recovers it at the Jacksonville 31.
Yeah, and that was such a close call. But, if you look at it on the replay, you can't say he didn't have the ball secured before his hand slid out of bounds.
Exactly.
So that was one time where they made the right call on replay, I think, and that there wasn't enough evidence to overturn the call on the field.
Yeah, and then, right after that, Ezekiel Elliott just gashes him up the middle for 21 yards. And then on the very next play, they get a delay of game, which is what I mentioned earlier. And on the very next play, it's first and 15. Well, you know what? Let's just get the 15 now. Ezekiel Elliott, touchdown. Cowboys are up 37-7. What are you thinking at that point? Like, not only are they up, but they're up 37-7.
I think I was like a lot of people chanting, I want the 40 burger.
Yeah, everyone wanted the 40 burger. Come on. At that point, you're just like, remember how I had mentioned over the weekend when I was in Dallas, but remember how I had mentioned on our, when we were all talking as a team, blogging the boys, I had mentioned, man, Jason Garrett, when you watch the old 2007 tapes, you just are floored by how aggressive he could have been sometimes and how he would just put his foot on people's throats. And then in this game, Jason Garrett was like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's put it up there. So, yeah. And, you know, you talk about Blake Bortles. So Blake Bortles got that touchdown earlier in the third quarter. But I find it funny that Blake Bortles didn't – the best he ever got after that was to the Dallas 47.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and they just couldn't generate anything.
Yeah.
And you just look at it and you're going like, how did this all happen?
Yeah.
You wound up at the end of the game, they sat down Dak Prescott and let Cooper Rush go out and hand the ball off to Rod Smith to run off the last few seconds.
Yeah, I mean,
until they had to make a punt.
And yeah, the Cowboys kicked another 55-yarder, by the way, Brett Maher's longest. They kicked that one, you know, with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But the game was already over. The game was way over, and I kind of like that the Cowboys were like, let's get that 40, and let's let Brett do it. You know, Brett, yeah. The triple threat, as Scooter Magruder, whatever his name is, would say.
Yeah, Scooter Magruder, and if you haven't seen that little video, go find him on Twitter
and watch it. Funny. It's hilarious. All his nicknames for Brett Maher, and then the best part is him Googling, did Scott Linehan get abducted by aliens? we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this game, put it in perspective, and move on to the Washington Redskins here on the Brews and the Boys podcast. And we are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. The Cowboys get the win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. They get the 40 burger, 40-7. And it just, you know, Randy Gregory ends up getting a sack in the fourth quarter, even though the game's, you know, already over. Ezekiel Elliott gets 100 yards. Then they pull him from the game. Cole Beasley has 100 yards receiving, which is the first receiver since the Kansas City Chiefs game last year to have 100 yards in a game. Terrence Williams was the guy that got it last time, even though Cole Beasley was the one that had the touchdowns. So then, and you know, Dak Prescott only, you know, passes for 180-something yards, but it didn't really matter because the Cowboys had put that game away, you know, quickly. They were up 24-0 at the half, so...
Yeah, there was no reason really to pass other than to keep a drive alive at that point. And Prescott was doing such a good job running the ball, both on planned plays and also just when he would get flushed out of the pocket, the pass rush would be coming on, and he'd make something positive out of it.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to ask, so we got to go to, you know, you wrote about this. It'll be up on Blogging the Boys. Is the offense really fixed? And I got to ask you what you think about this offense when you see a game like this, when all these things kind of come together at once and it's 40-7. Yes. But it's 40-7 against one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Yeah. This wasn't a cupcake defense that they were up against, which I think is the most significant thing. And everybody thought they were going to have a lot of trouble in this game, particularly with them putting pressure on Dak. And they have an ability to bottle up the running game. And early on, Ezekiel Elliott was having to do a little grinding, you know, getting 2, 3, 4 yards kind of stuff. But Dak found, I think, some confidence, and that is going to be the key. If there's, you know, one domino that had to fall first, it was Dak finding his game. And I think the fact that they are using his legs more, both intentionally and also when he's improvising out there, that is where they need to focus on, I think. Using that mobility, his athleticism, keep the defense from selling out to stop the run against Ezekiel Elliott because, you know, hey, Dak can keep the ball himself and go. And also it makes defending the pass hard because you have to not only pressure him, you have to keep all the lanes covered. And that's, you know, your choices in that are, you know, you can try to blitz a lot and try to get to him fast. But if you come with a four-man rush, he's very dangerous, both if you give him time and if he gets on the move, because there are times it seems like he sees the field a little better when he's running out there and looking with what to do with the ball.
Yeah, you know, you got to get your quarterback in the best possible position to succeed. You know, the Cowboys ran 73 plays on offense, I think, something like that. That's the most that they've ever done in a game, you know, with like this year especially. But you got to get your quarterback in rhythm there. It's obvious that Dak needs to be able to improvise a little bit, move on, get something going on his, you know, on his feet, because people know that you got to go into these games, Tom, and stop Ezekiel Elliott. What they were able to do, though, is they opened up Ezekiel Elliott because Dak was able to run, making the running game even more menacing. And then what happens? Well, Cole Beasley just comes wide open. It's funny how these things work together.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Dak was the first domino to fall, but the others fell right in line with it.
Yeah.
And we have been beating up on Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say anything bad about them in this game. They were throwing some plays out there. They were coming up with the right call in the right situation. It's going to be very interesting if they keep doing well. What's going to happen to all the Garrett and Linehan haters?
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's going to be really hard to. It's going to be hard to say, okay, this we need to go after new coaches. And I understand people are online right now talking about how they thought that Jerry was going to go ahead and extend Jason Garrett. He's denied that, but everyone's getting a little upset about it right now. But you got to understand that. If this I got to ask, what do you want here? Do you want the Cowboys to fail? Because if they fail, then you'll get your way and you'll get a new coach and stuff. But you're probably going to have a whole. You might even set the rest of your team back a bit, you know, because you're going to have new coaches, new ideas, new things, and it's not going to be guaranteed that it's going to be Chris Richard. It's not going to be guaranteed that you're going to keep all of these guys. A new guy comes in, he might want a whole different regime. So you never know.
Then you've got to ask, well, who do they wind up getting? Jerry Jones takes a certain kind of coach, which Jason Garrett happens to be, that can work well with him.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing to say, really.
Yeah, and I heard, I think it was on Gottlieb, I happened to tune in a little bit of sports radio, which I normally avoid, but I was listening to a little bit of it. And he was talking about how Jason Garrett, excuse me, somebody said that Jason Garrett only has his job because of his relationship with Jerry Jones. And Gottlieb made the point that if you're the head coach of an NFL team and you don't have a good relationship with your owner, what is wrong with you?
Exactly. That's bad because you talk about, you know, the Cowboys in this game, just how many things just went differently than what most people expected. I mean, I think the over under on this game was 39 points.
Yeah.
The Cowboys got over, you know, that, and the game itself went over too. But then the third down conversions, the Cowboys were converting third downs. You know, they got 7 of 17 total, but some of those third downs at the end of the game, they are really just kind of salting away the game.
Yeah. The main thing was that they were 6 of 9 in the first half.
Yeah.
Look at the first half stats, because I think that it's a good argument to be made that they took their foot off the pedal somewhat, just so that they didn't have any risky plays, because the only way Jacksonville was going to get back into it was if they started getting turnovers.
Yeah.
So the priority, I think, shifted to protecting the ball and burning and maintaining a comfortable lead all the way to the end, which, you know, it just got more and more comfortable as time went along.
Yeah, they more than doubled the first downs of the opponent, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They more than doubled that. They also kept them to 139 passing yards and only 65 rushing attempts on 18 attempts, which is just pitiful. You know, they had 2 turnovers. The Cowboys didn't have any. Cowboys converted 2 fourth downs. They did another one in the fourth quarter just 'cause, why not? But You know, the Cowboys had 206 yards on the ground, and anytime in two touchdowns rushing and two passing. But anytime you have something like that, that what we saw there with that offense, Tom, that is the team that is really hard to beat if they can grind you down like that.
Yeah, and it's all going to be about consistency. They've got to roll into Washington now, and they've got to find that same offense. They've got to keep it going, which is the big open question. Was this just a flash in the pan? Are they going to be an up and down team all year and really, you know, drive us crazy? Or are they going to be able to get something consistent? Because right now, nobody in the NFC East has a really good offense.
Yeah, they don't. And with everyone sitting around not wanting to, you know, pick up the NFC East and run with it, this is a perfect opportunity for the Cowboys. If they get a win over the Redskins, two wins in the division, one over the Giants, who are, they're done. They're just done. I mean, they got two losses in the division. And when you look at teams, you have to say, can this team come back? And that team, I just, with all the problems they have, I don't think so. The Cowboys are going to need to do that.
Yeah, they've got John Mara calling out Odell Beckham now.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Telling him to sit down and stop talking and play better, you know. Yeah. Okay, I get it, man, but you guys are just, they're in hot water over there. You know, the Washington Redskins, the Cowboys, and the Eagles are all kind of sitting around deciding who's going to come and take this and run with it, take the baton and take the NFC East. Well, you get two wins in the division, you got a pretty good leg up, and the fact that some of your best opponents you've already played.
Yeah, well, what were supposed to be some of the best opponents anyway, we're not really sure how it's going to stack up, but certainly they faced some good defenses.
Yeah, they faced some good defenses, and the Jaguars just came in with a quarterback that just, he can't do it for them.
Yeah.
He's just not doing it for him.
And now it's going to be, I think, one of the real interesting things is going to be how the defense harasses Alex Smith.
Yeah.
If they can keep him off balance, then they can win this game. I strongly believe.
Yes.
And I haven't seen much on, I know that the injury reports aren't yet, but I believe I saw that Ziggy Hood is going to be out. He might have gone on IR, so they're down one of their defensive linemen already.
Yeah, that's not good. And their defense, that's pretty much, you know, the heart of their defense is their defensive line, their ability to get pressure.
And you've also got a big plus is that you can see Connor Williams getting more and more comfortable with what he's doing and executing better.
I saw Connor Williams in this game against the Jaguars on a 4th-and-1, fourth and ones that they converted. I saw Connor Williams, Zeke's going to run right behind Zach Martin. Connor Williams come out of his left guard stance, pull all the way to the right side and say, "Hey, Zeke, here's just a little bit extra in case you need it," you know, and get the guy out of the way. That's crazy.
They like to pull him.
Like to pull him because he's athletic.
Yeah, he moves and he can get out there, get a hat on somebody and get to the second level. I think the offensive line is going to work out. And I think especially because of having to bring in one new guy and one backup and get them all integrated, it's taken them a little while. But oddly enough, I think I saw where the interior of the offensive line has only allowed one sack,
yeah,
or something like that. It's the pressure is coming from the outside, where Tyron Smith has had some trouble with speed, which is the one way you can sometimes get past him. And Lael Collins has been a little bit uneven, but I think as a whole they're starting to gel and find some of that mojo. And I saw something on Twitter today about where Zeke is, or the running backs, whoever's carrying Dallas, is having the most yards before contact of anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, that was NFL matchup. They're at like 4 yards before contact. I mean,
and if you can do that with your running game, it's real easy to keep stacking up first downs.
Exactly, and that's what it comes down to is that Can the Cowboys prove that, hey, we were just we were 3-3 starting the year because we were struggling as an offense to get that continuity going on the offensive line, to protect Dak with, you know, some consistency, to do all these. That's what you hope. You hope that the Cowboys, especially when you see that, you know, the last team that they beat before the Jaguars were the Lions, who had one of the better secondaries, but we found out their secondary was a lot better because people could run all over them, and they didn't try to pass on them as much. So,
yeah,
you know, now you have you beat a really good, what people thought was going to be a contender here, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They still might, because their division is kind of a little wonky too, but they don't have Leonard Fournette, so they don't have that, which means that just limits Blake Bortles' ability to get the ball to his playmakers and get the team down the field. So the Cowboys were able to take advantage of that, but that still doesn't change the fact that the Cowboys offense put 40 points up on a defense that came into this game completely outmatching the Cowboys in every category.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see what Washington tries to do.
Yes.
Are they going to put Josh Norman on Cole Beasley?
Yeah.
Can somebody like Michael Gallup step up? I think it looks like Tavon Austin is going to be out. And by the way, he was the fourth receiver.
Yes.
That was on that top four okay. ranking. And the problem is they weren't throwing it. They were using him kind of limited. Now that it looks like he's going to be out, it might be a groin problem he had mm-hmm. during the game. So somebody else needs to take up the load, which is where I hope Michael Gallup may be ready to have his, you know, breakout game or something, or at least start to show up where he's good for three or four catches during the game and can maybe help him get the ball downfield. Yeah. And then, you know, the other guys need to come up. And I wanted to see him throw more balls to Rico.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and it looks like that they are starting to use Rico more.
Yeah. If they don't have to have Blake Jarwin in for the running game, I think they ought to be putting Rico out there when they've got a second tight end.
I mean, realistically, you know, Tom, they should. Jarwin was open and Dak hit him perfectly, and he did not time it. Did not time that ball, and he dropped it, which just goes to show you that maybe Rico Gathers needs to be trusted a little bit more here than Blake Jarwin.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I think they need to go. They've got him. They've got him in. I think maybe it's time for them to start seeing, okay, what do we really have with this guy?
Yes, exactly. And I think they will. But, you know, that's kind of all we have for you guys today. You know, the Cowboys face off against the Redskins. What time is the game this Sunday?
Oh, you would ask.
Yeah, I think it's a 3:00 game, if I'm not mistaken. Like a
they're going to have Tony Romo in the booth again.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to have Tony Romo in the booth this week, and then they're going to have Jason Witten on Monday Night Football the week following that. So the Cowboys are, you know, Tony Romo called this last game. I think that he was a little bit he was very sometimes defensive of his former team, trying to, you know, give his Dak Prescott a little bit of praise and stuff, but they really showed out for Tony. They put up 40 on the Jaguars. Now they got to play a Redskins defense that's pretty legit. Hopefully they can get some things going here. They don't, you know, just, you know, revert back to some of the problems that they were having before. It's going to be Sunday at 3:25 when the Cowboys take on the Redskins in Washington.
And then they've got a bye week to get some people healthy too.
Then they got a bye week, and then here comes the Monday Night Football crew. So the Cowboys, if they can get a victory and get to 4-3 on the year over the Washington Redskins, and you're talking about having a pretty good shot to go and capture this division. Because Philadelphia is not at their strength right now. They're playing having some trouble in the secondary, having some trouble on the offensive line. Washington.
And the Eagles come up in 4 weeks, too.
Yeah, and the Eagles come up in 4 weeks, too. So, you know, that's all we got. We want to thank you guys for listening. This has been the Brews and the Boys podcast, an official podcast of Blogging the Boys and SB Nation through the Vox Media Podcast Network and Shway Media. Look out for our Apple and Android links on any of our social media platforms. Please remember to leave us a review in iTunes. It helps a ton, enables us to bring you the best shows possible. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Brews and the Boys, and check bloggingtheboys.com for updates on all things Dallas Cowboys. Have a great night, Cowboys Nation, Cowboys got the win, 40-7. 40 burgers taste very, very good.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.